Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Malcolm Young Show here on Wednesday, the 8th of March of 2023. I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. It is great to be with you tonight, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be tuning in, whatever device you're using. And it's great to be with you. You know, we should be live on the other device, but we've been having an issue with it, but we're still here, and it's great to be with you, and I gotta say, I don't know what's going on with the weather lately. Another week, another storm. Golly gee, Gomer, what is this? Come from home from Florida 3 weeks ago. And what? This is about to be like our sixth winter weather advisor since I got back? Come on. Really? I mean, I know red tide's bad, but I'd rather have the red tide than the winter weather watches. Would you rather be out in the tide or be dealing with the winter weather advisories? Would you rather be out in the red tide, Jessica, than dealing with the weather advisories?
Probably. I would say so.
Even if it says don't swim. No, unless it says do not swim. Other than that, I'd rather be out in the red tide. You know whose red tide I mean? Florida's. You figure that's whose I meant, right? Florida's.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's March 8th, and it's been kind of a weird winter, because in the past, I was used to, rather recently, to not having much snow in March. For a while back in the 90s, we got a good amount of snow every March. Sometimes it would seem like January would maybe give us some snow. February, sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. And then March, at least early March, it would turn on the jets one more time, but then it would warm up like a week or two after. Seemed like for several years in the 90s, it was kind of like clockwork like that, didn't it? Like for a few years in the 90s, that was kind of how it worked. Like for a few years, you could almost predict like that what would happen, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Until one year where we had those 70s and almost 80 at the start of March, like March 5th, 6th, 7th. Remember when we had that once? What would happen is we'd get like one big storm at one, anything that started at 2 to 4 inches to like 8 or 9 for like, I want to say it was like 4 out of 5 years, 3 out of 5 years, something like that, in like the mid to late 90s. Well, 1 year it wasn't much snow, it was just a good amount of freezing rain one of the years. That sounds about right, doesn't it? One of the years was freezing rain. Some of the others were snow. And then what would happen at the near end of March, spring break time, it would go up to near 70 or 60, depending on the year. We would go up to either or, like during spring break. Needless to say, the long version, but the long version. But the short version is, as they say, in like a lion, out like a lamb. That's part of why they say March is in like a lion, in like a lion, out like a lamb, is because of that. But it's hard to say what it'll be, how this March will end up. I honestly don't know, because we have to go through more of it to know for sure. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But those of us here in Michigan, of course, we know the drill. You know, when winter comes, spring will be on its way. It's just Mother Nature is just making us suffer a little bit more first. And sad to say, you can't put your winter driving skills away yet. Out loud, can't believe I'm about to say this, but I am. One of the things I love doing is being in the car, driving 80 down the freeway. As far as like when you're on the freeway, that is. Are you one of us? Are you one of those people that would rather be on that freeway going 80 than be stuck going like, you know, 40, 50? Yeah. I'm guessing you have a lead foot, don't you? You don't have one? You know of some people, do you know of some people who not only have it, but they're proud of it?
Yes, I do.
Like, is your son one of them? Like, I'm guessing he'll go 80, 85 on 75 every time, won't he?
My brother, yes.
And they'll be like, come on, if they won't let him. That's how he is?
Yes.
Because they'll be like, I'd be more so that way going down than coming up. Especially if you're in a hurry to get down there. You know what I mean? But like, who knows where to? Cracker Barrel? Or to, by the way, one of the best there is in my mind is Cracker Barrel, where you can go on Fridays and get yourself some good old Southern fried fish with some crunchy fries. I have the fish fry every Friday, including, of course, as we're coming close to Easter in exactly a month after tomorrow. And so if you're doing the Lent thing, you can go there to Cracker Barrel on Friday or a Friday. I told you before about Lent. Folks, if you do Lent, that's up to you. I don't. You want to? That's more power to you. I personally don't. But as they say, to each their own. To each their own. In this case, it's going to be to each their own. I'm not even going to give you my opinion on whether you should or shouldn't do it, because, to be honest, I don't have one, an opinion on it. Because to me, it's to each their own. In other words, that is my opinion, is that it's to each their own. Don't necessarily have good or bad to say about it. Is that the kind of the way you are with the Lent thing? Is that a taste their own? You have nothing good to say about it. You have nothing bad to say about it.
Right.
Because it's.
That's neutral.
You have it. Very neutral. You couldn't get me to be more neutral, honestly. At least one of the Fridays at this time of the year, I do like to go get me some delicious, you know, fish, wherever it may be from, you know, maybe Long John Silver's or wherever else. I like to say that Jesus blessed a meal from Long John Silver's, you know, with the, you know, when he was feeding all those 5,000 people, that he got the fish from Long John Silver's. That's what I like to say. So you went to Long John Silver's to do it. No, one of the boys, that boy went to Long John Silver's and got it from there. Except for one thing. They didn't have Long John Silver's back then. And, of course, by the way, Long John Silver's is, in fact, owned by Yum Brand International, Yum Brands International, who owns Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Long John. They owned A&W Restaurants as well, which is a chain of known for drive-in restaurants. Still have locations and various places, and some good stuff, if you ask me. But anywho, I hope you enjoyed last night, you know, because tonight marked number 777. This is now 778. And I thank God that I got to this point. And as I said last night, I've enjoyed doing it. And I feel like at this point, God has called me to do. And one of the things I did not mention last night, but one of the things we had said when we had launched this is that one of the goals was to change the world through faith and radio. What we meant by that is using the medium, medium of radio, online radio, you know, to bring faith to the world using radio. Because there's the different media. There's radio, there's TV, there's online, there's print media, all these different means. And it's sort of why I like to say it's a great day to be alive, because we have all these different ways at which to reach people, at which to, for which to win souls. Which, by the way, that was a key focus of the Holy Spirit Conference that we had last week at Living Word Church, which it was a powerful, very powerful conference. I know lives were changed. They were praying for certain types of people, including the fivefold ministers and those who were called to the fivefold. By the way, fivefold is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that were given for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's why they were made. That's what fivefold is. And so he laid hands on and anointed those we'll call it that. Friday night, they did something we've been doing just about every year lately, the last few Holy Spirit conferences, and that is Pastor Dr. Barclay has been having lines of preachers come up near the end of the Friday night service. And what these preachers will do is we'll go through a line. There'll be like a line of preachers that'll be laying their hands on them for the anointing. God, of course, runs those meetings. And, well, I mean, you know, Dr. Barclay, Dr. Barclay is the human who runs them, but ultimately, he totally lets God be in charge of those meetings because it's set aside to let the Holy Spirit come in there and do anything that he wants. That's the whole purpose of those conferences. He'll be in Clarksville to do one next year at this time. Clarksville, Tennessee, in fact, which I went to in 2021, October of 2021. By the way, Clarksville is a semi-large city known for military presence, about 40 miles northwest of Nashville. Right up, straight up the old I-24. And, as I said, it was fun when I had went there back in 2021. There will also be a couple of others in Palm Coast, Florida, near Jacksonville, and Amarillo, Texas, which is over on the west side of Texas. Whether it's the best side of Texas, I don't know. I've heard people say this whole thing. Have you ever heard that joke where people will say West Coast, Best Coast? Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. Not right now. West Coast, Worst Coast. You know why, right? COW. California, Washington. California, Oregon, Washington. Mountain's such a good place. East Coast, they got their own. So, you know what I say, best coast? South Coast. In other words, Florida. That makes sense, doesn't it? Why I would say South Coast, which is Florida, of course, because so you say best coast, west coast? Nope, best coast, south coast. That's the way I see it, at least. And so, you know, you think what you want. That's the way I see it. But how God moves in the lives of these people. And there's people that want, that'll never be the same. And that's the goal. That's the goal. Part of what it's about. Things I want to remind you about, and then I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord. First of all, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life and how great God has been over the years. And he's done so much for me over the years. And I can never thank him enough. I can never thank him enough. And that's why I'm the miracle man, because he's done so much stuff. It's called Rivers of Miracles. The story of how God's been there for me. throughout my life. Oh, and by the way, guess what? You also get my mom's story in there too. Some of my mom's story and how she came to know God and got freed from some things in the process. She had, you can think what you want to being a hippie, that, you know, that's one thing, but she had been addicted to speed. She had been smoking cigarettes or nicotine a hold on her. And also she had been consuming alcohol, like lots of alcohol. But you know what? God freed her from all of that. God freed her from all of that. All of it. By the time she gave birth to me, she was not doing that anymore. She truly wanted to be free. It wasn't just that she could give birth to someone without having all that stuff in her system. There was more to it than that. You know, God's been there for us. And so you can go online to the website, Rivers of Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book and how it can be a blessing for you. Thing I want to remind you about is about PayPal. You can go online in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. And when you sow your seed, it helps keep the show running. And I always thank God whenever I get told that seed has been sown into the program, because I want to see you prosper. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you blessed. And the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All those who rise against us shall fall. And so I say that over my own life. I say that over this program. I say, you know, you should too, listeners, in your own life. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't care what it is. Don't care what the enemy has planned for you. And so, yeah. But anyhow, you can go online to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. You can go to paypal.com. That is paypal.com, paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, R-Y, not R-I, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would have you keep in mind is that first R in Rivers, the S in Shukla, there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. And I figure you should know about that. So it's just so you can be aware so that your seed can go to the right place. And so I can know that the seed went through. And I want to sow into your life tonight is Luke 6:38, where it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with whatsoever milk you give, it shall be given unto you. And as I said, not tipping over, running over. My cup shall run over, not tip over. And so I always thank God for what he's done in me. All right. And so I'm going to sing a couple songs, and I'm going to get into the word of the Lord after we do that. And then and then we'll go from there. Here I am, I've come to find you. Here I am, faith, because you gave your life for me. You crucified your son for me. How can I do anything but praise? I praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. Here I am, I've come to thank you. Here I am, a life you've changed, 'cause you gave your life for me. I have to ask myself one thing, how can I do anything but praise? I praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. You are God. You are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is all I need. It's all I want. It's all I seek. And without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need. And without it, without it, I'm not living. Oh, 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 oh. Your presence is all I need, all I want. It's all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Oh, your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Your presence is all I need. It's all I want, all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need. And without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. There will be no one like you, no one beside you. Alone, not worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, worthy of all praise. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. Every heart that you bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give light. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Jesus. There is none like you. There is none like you in all the earth. There is none like you in all the earth, Jesus. Thank you for what you are. for who you are. Thank you. It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath, not our own. It's your breath in our lungs
for which we pour out our praise unto you and worship you. For you are great. You are the great I am.
You are the Prince of Peace. You are the mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for bringing all these listeners, every listener who has tuned in, at their homes, at their workplace, at wherever they may be. Maybe they're even at the beach, some of them. Thank you. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing in each and every one of their lives. Thank you that those listeners who do not know you would give their life to you tonight, right there, right now, wherever they may be. Thank you, Master. Thank you that you're meeting every need. You know what they need when I don't. But I thank you that you're meeting their needs tonight, right there where they sit, where they stand. Thank you that you do meet their needs. Thank you that you're healing our minds, our bodies, strengthening us, strengthening our mortal body. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you help us to be more like you, to learn more about your ways, that you draw us closer to you. And I thank you for that tonight. And now,
thank you that as we study the word tonight, that these listeners have ears to hear and minds that are ready to understand and receive what you have for them tonight. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that in your name, sponsors and partners come into this program. Finances come into this program. Increases in listenership come to this program. Most of all, for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise God. 1 Samuel 17. We'll see what God has tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you, follow along. Don't just sit there and watch. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and you feel free to catch up. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth. Turn the page. Simeon. Between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and they camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion, a Philistine champion, named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat with scale armor with bronze that weighed 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back.
His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, he will become our subjects and will serve us." And the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Abinadab the third, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening, and he took his stand. "Son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander with their unit. See, turning the page, see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." There with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things. He ran to the battle lines, and he greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage, and he will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying, and they told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him."
when David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him, and he asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak when turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter?" And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. Saul went with him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and will fight him. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. He's been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. Turned on me. I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered him, I mean the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a cloak of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. But David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "But I cannot go in peace," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in a pouch in his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, his shield bearer in front of him, he kept coming closer to David, and he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, puffy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David to his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and will cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All these gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran, stood over him, took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah with a shout, and they pursued the Philistines by the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their heads were strewn along the Shalim, and when the Israelites returned from chasing their Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistines' head and brought it in to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistines' weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that, young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son it is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I'm the son of your servant, Jesse, of Bethlehem." So there's a concept behind this. You know what it is? No giant, no giant, no champion. No giant, no champion. You know, Goliath, he was huge. He was a true giant. He was a true giant. And let me tell you something. You go through the earth. As you go through life, you're going to face some stuff. You're going to face some giants. And you might not be out there in a field trying to sling at a Philistine. You might not be trying to go out and attack. You might not be what? You might not be out there trying to attack a lion. Goliath was hero, was a hero in the eyes of the Philistines. But he'd come out there and he'd be attacking. He'd be all yelling. He'd be yelling a war cry. David comes. He sees it and he decides, you know, he's going to take him down, you know. And he's thinking, well, I beat the lion. I fought the lion, and I won. I fought the bear. I won. And he says, you know what? God's going to help win over this, too. And, of course, Saul gives him the helmet and all that other stuff. And then he says, I can't do this. He just uses five smooth stones. Five smooth stones. And And a stone would go in the sling. Another stone, another sling. Another stone in the sling. Round, 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 and round, and round, spinning like a Himalaya at the fair. Or like it would be spinning round, 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 and round, and round. And it went to the head of the Philistine giant. And that giant fell right down. Right down. And stones represent things. Now that shepherd was there. And then, you know, and that Goliath had his, you know, person that was helping him. But David, he was, oh, he's just a lad. He's just a lad, a young kid, puffy, you know, not a big dude. Not the king yet, by any means. He was king at 30. He wasn't king yet. And he goes out there, takes on that giant. He became known as a giant killer. We should be, as Christians, we should be giant killers. We should be able to win over battle. And one of the aspects of a giant killer, giant killers want to win. They want to win. They want to win. They don't want to be succumbed to by giants. You know, what could those giants be? Oh, let me think of some giants. Cancer. Poverty. You know, any kind of sickness. Disease. Pain. You know, divorce. You know, relationship stuff. You know, different giants that you might face in your life. But God wants to help us. God wants to help us slay the giants. And I'm going to say something again that I said a few minutes ago. No giant, no champion. There can be no champion without a giant. And David and Goliath was the champion at first. Goliath had been considered to be a champion, but in the end, David beat him. Goliath died at the hand of David. And God helped him do that. Now, I'm not saying that you should just go out there and kill a lion and kill a bear. Or anything like that. But what you can say is no weapon that forms against me and all those who rise up against me shall fall. They will fall. They will turn out to be powerless. Powerless. For the Lord your God, for the Lord our God is on our side. See someone that's not, and when you see someone that's 9 foot tall, 9 feet tall, you know, that's a giant. That's a giant, man. And he has all this equipment that weighs thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shekels. The same man who beat a lion, a roaring lion, and a bear. That bear was probably growling. And when a lion roars, they mark their territory by their roar. Did you know that you can hear a lion from miles away? You can hear a lion from as far away as 5 miles. And what are they doing when they're roaring? They're marking their territory. And so just checking. Sorry about that. I was checking my clock. But, you know, a lion, he uses that roar. He will use that roar that they have in order to mark their territory. When that roar is silenced, you know, it's not the same. But you see, David, it was God that helped him. And the Philistines, when they saw that their hero, the person who they called their hero, was dead, they weren't happy. But ultimately, it was God who helped him. And you know what? When we go through life here on earth, we're going to go through battles. We'll go through some little battles. We'll go through some big battles. Oh, you might have some serious giants to deal with. Like, you know, maybe a loved one being diagnosed with cancer or something like that. Or other gigantic things. But you know what? Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Part of how you beat these giants is with God's help. God helps you to do it. And you realize that God is on your side, and you trust him, and you seek him, you pray to him, and you declare your victory before God, and you say, I have victory over him. And I'm going to say one more time what I said. No giant, no champion. No champion. Folks, now, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this word tonight. Thank you that you would help us these battles and to fight them with you on our side. And we don't have to fight on our own. We can know that God is fighting for us. And I thank you, Master, that we would get this word in our hearts and we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. And now, Lord, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And I thank you that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, fire, flood, or crash, none of this evil stuff will come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.